Philippians chapter 4. We're still studying this thing of prayer. This is the text, a theme text, if you will, because in verse 6 it tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That's where we get the phrase for our theme from here in Philippians chapter 4. So we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 9 once again. I will refrain from getting into the introduction and message right now. We're just going to read the scriptures. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we'll read these responsively. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Here we are once again in Philippians chapter 4, talking about this subject of prayer. And, you know, we've talked about already, and I like to do just a quick review because as an educator, that's the best way to make something stick is to review. Amen. All of us teachers, we know review is so important to go over prior formulated information. That's the way people learn. So we like to do some review. We've talked about the introduction, which is the preparation for prayer. In order to be prepared for prayer, we need to, as it says in verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. And as Paul goes on and he's encouraging these beloved people, okay, these are people he loves, people he's invested in, if you will, people he's proud of. These are his crown and his joy. These are people that have worked and labored in the ministry and in the gospel, and he loves them and cares for them. Stand fast was the first encouragement to be prepared for prayer. Rejoice in verse 4 in the Lord was the second preparation. We need to stand fast in the Lord. And by the way, if we're anchored in the right place in Jesus Christ, we'll be better prayers. That's just the truth. If we learn to rejoice in the Lord, we'll be better prayers. That's exactly what Paul is instructing them. And then, of course, we get to verse 6. And he says, be careful for nothing. That was trust in the Lord. Okay? That doesn't mean be careless. All right? He didn't say be careless in everything by prayer. He said, no, be careful for nothing. And in other words, he's saying, don't trust you, trust him to whom you're praying. Okay? So that's what God wants for us. He wants us to understand about prayer before we ever get to prayer. That just makes sense. So we need to be prepared for prayer. And then last week we spoke about by prayer, what prayer was. What is prayer? We learned that prayer was a solemn address to the supreme being. So we are addressing God. Okay? Now, we were careful to make understood that he is not
our buddy. Okay? He's not the man upstairs. Okay? Do not be casual with God. Please understand, He is infinite. We are finite. Okay? We are weak. He is strong. Do not ever neglect the fact or get so casual to the fact that we have a relationship with God. Folks, He allows us to have a relationship with Him. But He is still God, and we are still men. We're not His equal, if you will. I know we're joint heirs with Christ. I get that. But we have our place, and He has His place. So our God has to be our God. He's the supreme being. We should adore Him. We should express our sense of His glory, His holiness, His perfections, and our imperfections. Our unholiness, our unrighteousness. There needs to be that separation, even though we're supposed to come boldly to Him in His throne. In other words, we have permission, but we're not equals. He's still the God, and we're still the servant. That's how it needs to be viewed. So prayer is very important. It is a confession of sins. It is a supplication for mercy and forgiveness. It is an intercession for blessings for others, and thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude for God, to God, for His mercies and benefits. It is petitions. It is from what we need, what we want, what we desire, how we feel. It's all of those things, but it's directed to God. That's prayer. Now, again, we're not going to re-preach last week's message. We're going to get to this week's message. So look at what, that was the review. Everybody okay with the review? You all feel reviewed? Good. All right, here we go. In verse 6, he says this. In everything, by prayer and supplication. All right, we have a joining here. We have noted English-minded people here today. And supplication, Miss Terry. I'm gonna use the fire out of this since you're here today. I like it. It's fun. And supplication. That means it's supposed to go along with it, right? It's supposed to be included together with prayer. Now, in our King James Bibles, the word supplication is used 39 times. All right? Most of those uses are in the record of Solomon and his prayer at the altar, which is recorded twice in Scripture. Okay? So that's interesting. But most of those uses are there. Some of the uses of the word supplication are directed to an earthly king. All right? And we're going to look at some of those. But do you understand that no matter what, that word supplication exists 39 times in our King James Bible. In 15 of those verses, the word supplication is used in conjunction with prayer. And all but one of them, it is prayer and supplication. And one time, it's supplication and prayer. Isn't that interesting? So, what comes first? Prayer, right? Most of the time. And then, and supplication. You say, but aren't they the same thing? Yeah. Yes and no. So, let's see what supplication is. Supplication is simply this word. It was a unique word to me. It's called entreaty. And here's what entreaty means. Entreaty means urgent prayer, earnest petition, or pressing solicitation. Okay, that's what entreaty is. So what is supplication? Supplication is entreaty. Supplication is a humble and earnest prayer in worship. So, when we say by prayer, I am making a solemn address to the Supreme Being. Does it have to be urgent if it's just prayer? No. Right? I could just want to talk to the king, right? Now, in Esther's case, hers was a supplication. Was there an urgency about what Esther wanted to accomplish or needed to accomplish? Yes, there was a deadline on the date of death for her people. Mr. Haman, right? He constructed all of that. You understand? So with Esther, she was, Mordecai told her she was there for such a time as this. There was an urgency. So she asked that they fast and they pray, right? That she was going to fast and pray. All her maidens with her were going to fast and pray. And then she was going to go and present herself and supplicate to the king. Make an entreaty. There was an urgency, an earnestness. There was a pressing matter to be brought forth. So in prayer, in a general sense, Paul says in everything by prayer, isn't always a pressing matter. Not necessarily. Think about this. When the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, is everything in life a pressing matter? Not necessarily. And that's why not every time that the word prayer is mentioned, the word prayer or pray or praying or some form of the word is mentioned hundreds of times in Scripture. Only 39 times the word supplication is used. And in only 15 verses of our King James Bible are these two put together. So what does that mean? When Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication. We as God's people need to see things according to God's view. Okay? Here's God on his throne orchestrating the world's events. You understand that? He knows everything that's going on. Our life is but a vapor, which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Can I tell you something? There needs to be a little more urgency to the things as so that we're not seeing them as we see them, but we see them how God sees them. Let me ask you a question. If your relationship with God needed to be brought along or, you know, developed, right? You say, well, I've got time. I'm only X amount of years old, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know you have time? Did you find that little spot on your body that has that little expiration date? I mean, how many of you have been shopping at the store and you try to find the expiration date on something, right? I mean, sometimes they put it in the most ridiculous places and you can't even find it hardly, you know? You've never been there? You don't even look. Okay? But now all of you are going to go home and you're taking a shower. You're going to be like, where is that thing? there isn't one. I'm just teasing. But God knows what our expiration date is. So why does Paul tell the people in Philippi to have urgency? To press this matter of prayer. Not just a general solemn address to the Supreme Being, but with entreaty, with earnestness, with urgency, with a pressing attitude, pray. Paul is saying, in everything by prayer, he's connecting now. For us in this time, we understand, folks, we are in these last times. We are in these perilous times. The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But what? So much the more as we see it. Why the so much the more? Why the urgency? Why does Paul say to these dearly beloved, these longed for, these joy and crown, these people that he has worked with and that he loves in the labor of the Lord, they're special to him. He's saying, now is the time we must pray. We need to pray. We got to not just solemnly address our supreme being. We need to do it more. We need to do it earnestly. We need to do it pressingly. We need to get after it because now is the time. We're like an Esther where we are placed here for such a time as this. So Paul is not only saying pray, he's saying supplicate. He's saying press God. He's saying add urgency to your prayers. We're not really built that way, are we? So we have to force ourselves to be fervent in prayer. To be active in prayer. To have an urgency. I must pray. There are people that are dying and going to hell that I have not yet spoken to. Let me put it to you this way. God, Jesus said that the harvest was ready, right? He said that they were white already unto harvest. If it was your field, would you want to lose one grain of wheat? You would not. What does the farmer care about? Those of you that were farmers or are known farmers, they care about the yield. Okay, the yield is important. You say, how do you know that? I'm a North Dakota farm boy. I know these things. Okay, listen, the yield, bushels per acre, that's important to the farmer. And you know what? They even will choose a more expensive piece of machinery that they can't afford because it gives a better yield than this machinery. Because of the outcome. They have settings on these machines, these combines and different machines that gather things. And they will go through a swath of the field and they'll come back and look at the trailings. What's left behind and scattered by the machine. And they'll look and they'll see how much of the grain is being cast aside. And they'll make those adjustments because they care about any that's left behind. Do we have that care? The grain is falling, people, to the ground. And it's not being gathered into the storehouse like it needs to be. Do we care about that? Is there an urgency? So as Paul is kind of winding up this chapter, or this book of Philippians, this is the last chapter in the book, chapter 4, he is trying to press upon these people he loves and wants to see succeed and wants to see be one with their God and have a relationship with their God. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication. He's saying, let's take it to the next level. Let's put some urgency on this. If you'd like to turn again to 1 Kings chapter 8. This is the record of Solomon's prayer before God as he is dedicating the temple. It's also recorded in Chronicles as well. But do you understand that this word supplication is used here more than in any other place collectively in Scripture? It's used several times, and I want you to listen for it as we look here, these several verses, about 30 verses. So don't worry, I'll read it fast, okay? Beginning in verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Okay, so is he making a solemn address to the supreme being? He is. Okay, so we got the prayer thing covered. We're here, right? And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day, giving glory to God, adoring God, lifting up His holiness and His glory. Is Solomon doing that? Is he praying to God? He is. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before thy enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to man, every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger, that is not only of thy people Israel, but cometh out to a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, here in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of that house, that this house, which I have builded, is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle toward the city, against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication. You see what's going on here? This is not just a solemn address. There's an earnestness. There's an urgency, there's a pressing toward God for something for His people. In everything by prayer and supplication. As he finishes up, if you kind of filter down here, as he gets toward the end of the chapter, it says Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord. He arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people according to all that he had promised, and there hath not failed one word of his good, all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses. If you skip ahead to chapter 9, you see that God answered his prayer and supplication. He said, I have heard your prayer. I have heard your supplication. He said, listen, God wants to hear from us. David writes much about this thing of supplication in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 6, verse 9, he says, The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. In chapter 30, verse 8, he says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. In Psalm 55, he says, Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. In Psalm 119, twice, he mentions this in 145 through 152 and in 169 through 176. He says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord. And all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. In verse 169, he says, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Are you all noticing something here? And yes, I read those with expression. And I read those verses with passion. Because that's what supplication is. It's the expressive form of prayer. It's the passionate form of prayer. It's that fervent, effectual prayer. When we stand fast in the Lord, when we rejoice in the Lord, when we trust in the Lord, folks, we are invested in prayer. And when we come before the solemn, supreme being, God Almighty, holy, 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 and we fall on our knees before Him, we're acknowledging who He is, and our prayers must be heard. There's going to be a passion. There's going to be emotion. There's going to be tears. There's going to be that pleading. There might even be a crack in our voice. Or perhaps it'll be like the New Testament describes, that we'll just open our mouths and not even be able to utter the words, but the Holy Spirit knows what they are. Or maybe we'll be like a Hannah in the Old Testament who came and was so full that her mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. Can I tell you something, folks? That's not just prayer. That's supplication. And when we go to God in this day and time, in these perilous times, in these last days, because we are beloved, because we are the longed for, we are the joy and crown, we are the ones that are working and serving and laboring in the gospel, God wants us to, by in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is not just some lightweight things, folks. It's a heavyweight fight. If you're not invested in it, you're going to get knocked down. You want to know why your prayers aren't heard? Maybe you're not supplicating. Maybe there's not an earnestness. Maybe it's just, I'm just praying because that's what I was taught to do. You know, we say our prayers before bed, or we pray when we get up. It's become mechanical and empty. I prayed. I pray every day, Pastor. Yeah. But is it in everything by prayer and supplication? Do your prayers sound like these people's prayers? Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they have privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and I beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. When's the last time you had a prayer like that? When's the last time that you knew that if you didn't get a hold of God, it would all be over? That's supplication. That's the essence of supplication. So, well, I need this thing, but I don't need it that bad. That's our problem. Let's go back to this thing about being a witness. When's the last time you just had to see someone get saved? That if you didn't, you just think that you'd die. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. Is it? How bad do you want to be a laborer of the harvest? How bad do you want to be invested in His work? How bad do you want that thing that you're going to make a solemn request to the Supreme Being? How much does it mean to you? That's supplication. And Paul tells these dearly beloved, these people whom he is so proud of, and whom he loves so much, who he's invested so much, and whom he's worked with so much, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, and attach it supplication. I'm ashamed to say that Christianity today is so shallow, we don't even know what prayer and supplication are. Many times in the Psalms, if you just read through the Psalms, you'll see David said he wet his bed with tears. when he didn't even sleep at night. Because he was in prayer all night. Because he had to get a hold of God. Don't know where it is. It's in here somewhere. I should have highlighted it. God recounts Jacob. I think it's in this is in Lamentations right here. Is it here? It's in one of these prophets, written in my pages here. I'll find it eventually. But here's the thing: there's an account in Scripture about Jacob getting a hold of God and wrestling him and saying, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. You know what that is? Supplication. When's the last time you refused to stop praying until God gave you the desires of your heart? Till God gave you relief? Till God gave you an answer? You just say, I'm not letting go. Last week we talked about Daniel praying. And he kept praying until the answer came. Why? Because he needed an answer. This is what supplication is. This is what we need today in these last times. Folks, the times are here. They are perilous. Just watch the news. This world is nuts. Everything is upside down. Evil's good. Good's evil. It's a wreck. We need God. We need to pray. We need to supplicate. We need to beg. We need to earnestly entreat. We need to be earnest in prayer. Be earnest in petitions. Pressing the solicitation. We are asking Him for something. We are asking God to make an investment. We are asking God to do. Like Solomon said, God, do. According to your word. God's promises are real, aren't they not? Is it wrong to ask God to work according to His promises? To work according to His word? No, it's not. We need to ask Him. We need to supplicate. We need to, with prayer, everything by prayer and supplication. We finished James a little bit ago and talked about the last part of it and how he kind of ended that particular chapter of in book of the Bible. But he ended with praying because they had needs. Do we have needs today? Oh, so many. But we don't go to God. We do it within the resources that we have in our own power. We need God. Paul wrote a commendation to the folks at Corinth in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 7, verses 4 through 11, he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed unto to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might be received damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge! Exclamation point. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like our relationship with God. This was the preacher's relationship with the people. When we come to God in everything by prayer and supplication, this is what happens. It's a blessing to the heart of God. And guess what? In return, it's a blessing to us, His people. All of David's writings, the things that Solomon mentioned, the things that are written of by the apostles in the New Testament, you understand that these things were necessary. Prayer and supplication. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when they came together, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What happened next chapter? Yeah. The Holy Ghost came down, filled them all. When they prayed after they were being persecuted in Acts chapter 4, they spake the word of God with boldness and multiplied multitudes to get saved. Woo! From what? Prayer and supplication. Folks, we need God's power on our lives. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, David writes, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore the shadow of Thy wings, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth. You know what that is? That's prayer and supplication. What are we going to do in this time? In this day? It's scary out there. Everything's against us. Everything's against God. This world is waxing worse and worse. It's going to be like the days of Noah. Wickedness continually. Thoughts and evil thinking. Always, we need this thing of prayer more than ever before. We need this thing of prayer and supplication more than ever before.